We're going to be speaking about a part of the parsha that I found disturbing for a while, but something that I think is really, really misunderstood. Parakhlef Aleph, Pasuk Yud Zayin. It says, Daber al Aaron le'mor, speak to Aaron, saying, Ish mizaracha ledoro samashriya b'mum, lo yikrav v'akriv lachem lokav. Speak to Aaron, saying, any man from among your children, among the future generations that has a blemish, should not come close to be makriv, the bread of his God. Now, here's our first introduction. If a person is born with a defect, I mean a physical defect or a mental defect or anything like that, that doesn't make him any less perfect than a Kadosh Baruch Hu's eyes. He shouldn't be any less in our eyes as well. That's our first introduction, that we are not saying that this person who has a mental or physical deformity is going to be considered something that is less than anybody else or somebody who's not worthy of doing something over here. He has a job to do, just like anybody else would, and his job does not require him to have the limbs or the abilities that other people might have. That's the first thing. This pasuk is not here to disparage him. The pasuk is not here to make us think less of him as a person because of what he has, but rather it's here to help us understand how what a person might be missing can help him and us become greater from it. I'm going to give an example. It's not a great example. But if I would go up to a person and I would say to him, listen, buddy, you're never going to make it into the NBA. Now, that might be a tova for a certain person. A person might be working his entire life to be able to do that. If somebody would just tell him, you're not going to make it to the NBA, that can be helpful for him. And what I mean by the NBA is there are certain people who are born with a certain set of abilities and certain people that are born with other sets of abilities. We're living in a world where right now, everybody can do what they want when they want. And the way that the Torah is saying it is, that's simply put not true. You can't do anything you want whenever you want. There are limitations. Just like there's limitations to what I can eat, there are limitations to where I can go, there are limitations to what I can see, there are limitations to every person's abilities and their perfection in this world. And whatever my job is not your job, and whatever the job is of someone who has this physical or mental deformity is not there to be like someone, whether he's born with it or whether it came in later on, it doesn't make a difference. This is the idea. You don't want him to get disappointed over something that will never be there. There's a line that reminds me of Shabbos Daf Lamed Aleph with Hillel and the Ger. Everybody remember that the Ger went to Shammai. Shammai kept kicking him out and saying this. There were three Gerim that came to Shammai each time. And then they went to Hillel. And one of the Gerim said, I want to be the Kohen Gadol. I want to become the Kohen Gadol. So Hillel brought him in and said, there's no way we can appoint you as the Kohen Gadol until you learn the laws. You have to learn about the halachas of the Kohen Gadol, and then you can go in. He learned the laws, saw that even Hazar HaKarev Yumas, that even a Yisrael or a Levi who tries to become the Kohen Gadol should die. And in that he said, Shammai, why didn't you just tell me? If you would have told me, I would have got my heart up. I would have realized that this is not for me. Hillel taught me in the right way by teaching me slowly but surely what I can and what I can't do. He understood this is not the place for a ger. That doesn't mean that we look down at the ger. The ger can't become a Kohen Gadol. I can't be a Kohen Gadol. As great as I am and as great as you know that I am, there is no way that I'm going to become a Kohen Gadol. That's not my job and that's not something I should be doing. You can't be, this guy gets up there and there's Birchas Kohenim. What, you get jealous of him? You're like, I want to do Birchas Kohenim. You're not a Kohen. You know why? Because your parents didn't say yes when a Kadosh one Moshe Rabbeinu called out and said, Mila Hashem Eli. Your parents didn't. If you're a Levi, they did. And that's just it. That's the way it is. Simply put, that's how it is. We have to understand that. And this is not the Torah knocking them down and making them feel upset about what they are or what they have. It's us learning and utilizing an opportunity to realize what our purpose is in this world. And sometimes it's not what we want it to be. It's what it has to be, not what we want it to be. That's number one. Number two, Rav Victor Miller says another way of thinking, that whatever we may think, God makes the final decisions. Even if we don't understand it fully. And there's something that we look at and we say to ourselves, you know what? I'm not so into this. I think that somebody should be able to do what they want when it comes to X, Y, and Z. HaKadosh Baruch Hu makes the final decision. He gives honor on his terms. And again, it's not a great mashal. But can you imagine if someone came up to me one day and he said, Rabbi Zimmerman, I decided to give you a present. And he pulls out a kilt. And I'm looking at him like, what am I going to do with a kilt? Not only do I not want a kilt, I'm kind of insulted that he thought that I would like a kilt. Why would that be something that anyone would think that was a good idea to give me as a present? So I'm going to sit there and go that. And that's the way it is in this passion of way HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I think you deserve for me to do X. I want to do this, and therefore I'm going to give this to you as a present. I'm going to be Makrav HaKorban. You can't. That's not what I want, says HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And if I don't want it, that can't be used as a gift for me. You can't do it. Says Victor Miller, that's how you have to look at it. Now, there are 12 blemishes mentioned in this week's parsha. A person who is blind, lame, a sunken nose into his head, hips being unequaled, a fractured arm, a fractured leg, overhanging eyebrows, cataracts in the eyes, the eye colors being mixed up together, moist scabs, dry scabs, or an injury to that part of the body. All 12 of them are mentioned in the Torah. There are another 8. Some of them are the same, some of them a little bit different, mentioned by the animals later on in a parak later on. And in each one, Rav Hirsch says there are 3 basic categories here. Category number 1, actual blemishes. That if you go and serve in the Beis HaMikdash with these, the avoda that you perform while these blemishes are, while you have these blemishes, is puzzle. There's nothing you can do, it's completely gone. Others do not make the avoda puzzle. The avoda itself is not puzzle, but he's over on an asay or a lav if he does so. That's number 2. And number 3, something that might be an issue of maris ayin. Maris ayin, where somebody looking at you might think something different. It shouldn't be done, but the avoda works. He's not over on anything. Those are the 3 that were mentioning over here. We're not going to delineate what these are, the definitions of each, and how they apply. That's not for us. That's in Bechoros. That's also mentioned in a couple other places, in Zvach HaMenachos. That's not for us right now. We are going to concentrate, just simply put, on this idea of what HaKadosh Baruch Hu is doing in taking the Baal Mum out. Tosefes Bracha, by the way, says that Mum is not only by physical blemishes, it applies by mental and emotional blemishes as well. I'm going to give an example. It says that a Shoteh and a Shikr cannot serve in the Beis HaMikdash. That is called a Mum in the Gemara. A Shoteh and a Shikr. The definition of a Shoteh is a guy that if you would give him $5 and you would say to him, go to Jewel and go buy me a bottle, you know, a thing of milk, he can't do it. That is the level of a Shoteh. Okay, that again is not disparaging. It's the level of what we would call a person who cannot go about his business in the right way. That is the definition. A shikr is a person who is not able to stand up in front of a king, depending on how we define that. But that's the basic idea. We wouldn't be able to stand up. Basically, he would be arrested for drunk driving. Let's call it 0.08 on the breathalyzer test. Yeah, what's going on with
you?
No, not lazy. I mean, he doesn't understand what you're saying. So most people with a mental retardation, for example, a person with Down syndrome or a person who's autistic or something like that, right, they'll be able to do that. They're not in the level of a shota, and they are chayiv and mitzos in a certain way. It's a person who cannot do this. If he cannot accomplish what we want him to do, and that way, that would be the level of a shota, that person is considered a baal mum, a different type, but that's the idea over here. The Tosefes Bracha brings this example that we see that mental disabilities are still considered a mum. He says, Megillah Chavtes, anyone who has an ego, if you are a baal gaiva, you are known as a baal mum. In Bava Metzia Nun Tesim Abeis, it says, mum shebecha al tomel lechavercha. A mum that you have, don't go calling other people by that name. You know, like it takes one to know one? Well, yeah, that's this. Maybe this all stems from the Pasuk in Hazinu. In Hazinu, the wording of the Pasuk is, in Lamed Beis Hei, it says, shiches lo, when bad things happen, is it God? Lo, no, banav mumum. His children are blemished. This blemish is not referring to a physical blemish, it's referring to an emotional, a sensible, a type of mum that is within his senses and something that he did something wrong. That's the concept. The shoresh of the word is not the word mum, mem vav mem. It's me'um, mem aleph vav mem, which means nothing. Nothing at all. Something that is taken out completely. That's the concept. Shir Hashirim, Dalet Zayin is something. You can look that up, etc. But that's the concept. So a mum is not just a physical blemish. There's also, could include a mental blemish or an emotional blemish as well. Yes, Ben?
You're saying mum means nothing, mem aleph mem.
There's something missing, so to speak.
Not
yeah.
Like it means gibberish.
Right, not as in gibberish, right. I mean as in there's something missing, there's nothing that this guy has that he should have, etc., something like that. Now Rashi says, and this is the reason that if somebody is PC would have an issue with, the Rashi says the reason we don't allow someone with a mum to serve in the Beis HaMikdash is based on a pasuk in Malachi, Perek Aleph Pasuk Ches. The pasuk says, Hakriveu na lefecha secha, I think it is. Bring it close, please, to your governor. Hayirtzecha o ayisa panecha. Would he desire you? Would he lift up his face to you? Meaning, you want to bring a gift over to a king, to a president, to a governor. Would you bring it in the hands of someone who is blemished? Would you do that? Or is that insulting to the king that the messenger that's being sent to give it to you, would he give you an audience for that? Now, the truth is, that pasuk is not referring to the messenger being sent. It's really referring to the gift you're giving him. Would you give him a gift of, let's say, I'll give an example. When Richard Nixon went to China for the very first time, he was invited to go to China and he accepted the invitation. It was the first time that he had gone, that any U.S. president had gone to China to a communist regime. When he went in, he wondered what to give. What kind of a gift do you bring? So he brought two, I think it's like Texas Longhorns or whatever it is, like big oxen. That's what he brought in. He brought in two Texas Longhorns into there to give it to them so that they could raise their own cows, whatever. They're the American version of cows. They brought in for that. China was so duly impressed, they donated to Richard Nixon two giant pandas. And that's what started the giant pandas coming to America. That's how we have them in American zoos. Every panda in the world belongs to the Chinese government, but they loan them out. Any panda that's born still belongs to the Chinese government, or so they think. I don't think we're going to start a war over it, but regardless, that's the idea behind it. What would you bring? Now, can you imagine if you brought over to the Chinese government, Richard Nixon goes in, and he brings two oxen in, and the ox is missing a leg. One of the ox is missing a leg, the other ox is completely blind. Right? He brings over to the Chinese government, the Chinese government looks at him, is like, why are you giving us blemished animals? Why would you do that? Oh, you don't understand, they're just like the others. Wait, I understand that we love them to be just like the others, but they're not in the eyes of the one getting the present. The person getting the present looks at it and says, this is insulting, because I expect you to give me a perfect present, a present befitting my stature. I don't feel that I deserve this type of a present. This, to me, is not as good. This is the way that anyone would think when they get a gift. Try giving a gift to your wife that has a little, like a diamond necklace that has like cuts in it, right? That has little cuts or like little indentations. Like, you don't understand, I found it in the street. She wants something that looks good. Not something that you got cheap because, look, honey, I got it for this. Not making fun of, like, South Carolina or West Virginia. I'm not doing that. South Carolina's pretty good. But West Virginia. You know, but, like, that's not what you do. You just simply put, don't do that. That's the concept. It's a homiletic interpretation to be used to say as if to say that if this happens, then the person, so to speak, is not doing the right thing. That's the concept, says Rashi. Chizkuni says, we learn it out from the next pasuk. What a weird pasuk. Listen to this. It says over here, it says, Asher yebomum lo yikrav lahakriv lachem laokav. He can't bring it. Why? Says the next pasuk. Ki kol ish asher yebomum lo yikrav. Here's the reason why. Because any man that has a mum should not be makriv. That's not a reason. That's just repeating the state. The status that's saying anybody who has a mum can't be makriv. Why? Because anyone with a mum can't be makriv. That's not saying anything. Says the Chizkuni, this is the idea. Since such a person would not serve, meaning that wouldn't be the idea that anybody would give, therefore it doesn't seem right for us to do so. Even if we know that that person is a perfect person in every which way, that he's mentally tremendously a big tzaddik, it makes no difference. This is not the person that we would choose to represent us. Ramosha Feinstein points out that we always see HaKadosh Baruch Hu connecting with the poor. We see the words, Abit el Ani u'Nechei Ruach, says HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I look toward the Ani and the Nechei Ruach. These are the people that HaKadosh Baruch Hu loves. These are HaKadosh Baruch Hu that Hashem is spending all of his time with. He wants to be with the people that are lowly of spirit, the people that don't have the same abilities as other people. That's the ones that he spends more time with, rather than the people who are, so to speak, perfect in other people's eyes. So why is this person not involved, right? Who cares what the people think? We should care what a Kaddish Baruch Hu thinks. And if a Kaddish Baruch Hu thinks this person's good, then let him serve in the Beis HaMikdash. So we see, if a Kaddish Baruch Hu says no, even though he says, I love them, and yet he says no to them serving the Beis HaMikdash, it shows us that we do have to care what people think. That as much as a teenager will say, I don't care what anyone thinks. I'm going to do my own thing. And whatever I do, then everybody's just going to have to follow. You have to say to that person, it's not true. It's not true even at Kadosh Baruch Hu cares what other people think. Maris Ayin is a serious halacha, not a suggestion. It's a halacha. We have halachas based on Maris Ayin. Well, how that applies and what it is, okay, that's a different story. But the concept is there that a person always has to think, is this what is good in the eyes of other people? And if it's not, it's not. And that we have to accept for ourselves. We have to understand what it is. It's just not chashuv enough. That's how Rav Moshe puts it over here. The Sefer HaChinuch says even more, yeah.
I was just saying, how about the Rambam? Does the Rambam throw up Maris Ayin and Ayin Hara? Did you say that?
Ayin Hara, yeah. Maris Ayin is halacha.
I mean, Maris Ayin, we take a lot of stuff from Maris Ayin, like Shabbos, like going, like, you know, with not turning to, like, there's a lot of stuff that Maris Ayin, I thought, would just, like, throw it out there. So we're not saying
it's not a time for Mar Zion. Yeah. But no, 100%, Mar Zion is a serious halacha. That is an absolute halacha. Avsha Milsa, you can't have a washing machine going or a dishwasher going on Shabbos. Of Avsha Milsa, that's what we call Mar Zion. That's halacha. That's not like, oh, maybe not.
Elevator
almost
said because of Mar Zion.
No, I mean, elevator, that's a totally different issue. It depends on how the elevator works. Rav Moshe had, again, we're dealing with different Igros Moshes. But Maris Ayin is a serious halacha. Ayin Hara is a different issue altogether. Ayin Hara is a totally different issue that has to do with whether or not you have the ruchnius type of things that are out there. Do those count within the realm of halacha? But that's a totally different issue. Maris Ayin is a serious issue, though. Sefer HaChinuch says that it's different. When a Kohen is affecting a kapara for the nation, and allowing something to be a kapara for everybody else, if, let's just say, you're the guy who's bringing the korban, wouldn't it seem like, and again, I'm not disparaging anybody, but no matter how well you love somebody who doesn't have all the things that you do, would you want it to be, like, would it be an auspicious siman if all the kohanim are lined up, and everybody is lined up to bring their korban, and each guy gets a coin to bring his korban, gets a coin to bring his korban, and then your korban that you're expecting, you sinned, you want to get a kapara for your sin, and the coin that is affecting that kapara is somebody who doesn't have all the proper limbs. You'd think that that would be a simon that your korban's not going to be accepted. I'm not saying that you should. I'm saying this is the reality. People will think that, no, HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't love me because he's allowing it to happen through there. It's as if he's saying to me, a simon that he's saying to me, that a limb is missing. It's as if I'm missing something from my kapara. It's not that it's true. It's not that that's true. But since the quantum are affecting a korban, a kapara over here, we need to think what those people will say. And in that sense, this is the idea that the Sefer HaChinuch is saying, you can't allow these kohanim to work, the Balei Mum, to work in the Beis HaMikdash, because we're worried not about whether or not it will be it's what will happen to the people who are going to think this way, what's going to be. So you think, like, why should we worry about the fools? Who cares if a fool thinks that way? I hear you, but we pay attention to everybody. And if we give this blanket rule, that solves all of our issues. That's how the Sefer HaChinuch puts it over here. In fact, we do see throughout the Torah that the Sitra Achra puts itself on blemishes. Bilam was Shesum Ha'ayin. He was somehow, I don't know what you want to call it, blemished of the eye. He had a cataract over the eye, or something that was whitened, or something that was weird about his eye. Bilam's nevuah, so to speak, came to him on the Shesum Ha'ayin. And we know that's Vayikor. It was somewhat of a Ruach HaTumah that came with Bilam. That's what happened because of this concept of what the Sitra Achra calls, right, the side of Tumah, what we call something that's a little bit different. The seer La'Azazel, the Ish Iti, the man that brought out the seer to Azazel on Yom Kippur, that man was always blemished, according to the Gemara. He was a person that had something wrong with him. So again, it's not that we're saying that these people are evil. It's not that we're saying that these people don't deserve to do anything good. It's that when that happens, we saw that there was a connection between the two. Again, if a person's bringing a korban, that's the last thing he wants to think about when his korban is being brought. That, oh my gosh, this is not the person that I want. That's not the, you don't want the negative connotation that goes with it, whether it's deserved or not, which it isn't. That's what you don't want over here. Rav Hirsch says something beautiful, absolutely beautiful. Of course, it's Rav Hirsch, so you don't get anything else. What does the Kohen do when he's serving in the Beis HaMikdash? What does he wear? We know, he's got the big day kuna, right? The Kohen Gadol wears the big day kuna gedola. His clothing had to be immaculate. If there was a stain on the clothing, he's got to change. If blood gets on the clothing, he's got to change. The Kohen Gadol and the Kohanim could not go in dirty. By the Trumas Adeshen, there's a whole question, what does he have to do after he does the Trumas Adeshen? Because the ashes got everywhere. You cannot go in dirty. We see, clearly, says Rav Hirsch, that appearances are important. We care about what they look like. We want them to look beautiful. It cannot contradict the character that is necessary to make the korban worthy of Akrava. That's the concept. The Kohen himself and his clothing and anything about him cannot contradict what we want the korban to do. We want the korban to be perfect. Everything about it has to be, so to speak, perfect. If he's not wearing the proper clothing, the korban is pusle. Everything's gone. It doesn't work. And somebody has to bring a korban again because this didn't work whatsoever. We don't want it to seem, and this is what it would be, that if we allowed Balei Mum to be makriv on the mizbeach, if we would allow that, it would seem that the afflicted rise through the mizbeach. Now, let me explain that a little bit. You ever heard the line that people who become frum through NCSY are usually the messed up ones? You ever heard that line? You never heard it before? I'm shocked. There are many people that will say that the only people who get frum through NCSY are people that have issues. Why? Because I'm sure there's one or two people that have a couple issues, they go to NCSY, and they become a little bit frummer, and then it becomes, so to speak, the tagline of like, oh man, see, the reason why they became frum is because they were going through hard times. But if they weren't going through hard times, then they never would have become frum. So it seems as almost like Judaism is like the savior for the lepers, for the people that are not doing well, the people that don't really have anything else going for them in life, so they might as well do this. And that's ridiculous. The person says, we don't want to be known as a nation like that. We want to be known as a nation that can affect not only the people that have an issue or two, which everybody has, but even the people that look perfect, that everyone has a connection to the Mizbeach. If it would be that you would have Balei Mum serving in the Beis HaMikdash, then it would seem that the broken, that the afflicted, that they can bring themselves up. But a perfect person, a person who perfect physically, a person who doesn't have those blemishes, those people wouldn't need the Mizbeach. They don't need God. They can do it on their own. And that's ridiculous. That's sacrilegious. That's against everything we stand for. The person who has all of his limbs intact needs God as much, if not more, than a person who is missing something or isn't in that way perfect when it comes to his actual physical limbs. That's the idea that we have to look at. And in that sense, if we would allow the Balei Mum to be in there, it would seem like this is the religion for the brokenhearted, for the afflicted, for the wounded. Those are the people that we're going to bring up through the Mizbeach. We don't want them to think that way. We want to show you a perfect Kohen, so to speak, who looks perfect, who is, the clothing is perfect, and even though we don't know what he's thinking on the inside, even though we don't know what kind of a person he is on the inside, the way he looks represents how even a person who seems to have no problems still not only wants to be with Hashem, needs Hashem, needs to serve in the Mizbeach. He needs to connect back to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's the concept. That's why the Kohen has to be unblemished. It is not, it's similar to the Hirshian philosophy that when he says that when it comes to churches, churches are always surrounded by graveyards because the priests find their way in death. They get people to think about death. They say, what's going to be in the next world? They don't let you think about this world. We want to think about life. How are you living this world? We don't want our souls to be anywhere near the graveyard. There's the graveyard and there's us. The Kohanim, our priests, can go nowhere near a graveyard because it's not about that. It's not about the negative. We want to focus on the positive. And that's the concept. A Balei Mum would make people focus on the negative, whether for good or for bad. That's obviously not what we want, but they would concentrate on the negative. So don't let the Balei Mum get up there. Let them think that only the perfect get to join our nation. Only the perfect go through there, right? And that's the concept. And I think that's the reason why it's so, like, people concentrate on, like, the one or two people that are out there. And that's why I said that thing about NCSY, which is obviously ridiculous. But the concept is that people focus on the negatives and they'll forget about the positives, all the good people who really just saw how beautiful Judaism was or how beautiful Frumkeit was and decided to become Frum because of that rather than the negatives of, like, I wanted to get out of this, so therefore I chose that. That's the concept. We see throughout the Gemara, we don't want Gerim for that reason. If a Ger tries to join Klal Yisrael to get out of a loan, he's a non-Jew, took Ribbis from a Jew, right? He borrowed money and now he has to pay back Ribbis. When he becomes Jewish again, according to Rabbi Yossi, he still has to pay back that Ribbis. And the reason why is because we don't want anyone saying, you know why he became Jewish? To get out of the loan, so he didn't have to give Ribbis. We want to stay away from that. We don't want things like that. It's a different idea. The Chiddush HaRim puts it in one line. Chiddush HaRim says it in one line. This Parsha hints through the blemishes of man that you should never have a mum when it comes to your Avodas Hashem. Your Avodas Hashem has to be pictured as and done as if there's nothing wrong. Not because, oh, I feel so bad, or you're worried about an onish, a punishment. You're worried about the bad things that are going to happen. No, I'm doing this because it's the right thing. Not because I'm trying to stay away from something negative. That's the concept over here, and Rav Hirsch is saying it, I feel, in a beautiful, beautiful way. Now, Rav Ramban points out, Aaron is not included in the law. Look at what he says over here. He says, Ish mizaracha ledorosam. Any man from your children in future generations that has a mum. But Aaron? Seems like he's never going to have a mum. So the Ramban says, it's true. Aaron is a malach of Hashem. Aaron would never have a blemish on his body that's going to stop him from being able to serve. By all their parshios, right, including becoming Tameh, Aaron's involved. It's Aaron, it's saying you, because Aaron can become Tameh. His children can become Tameh, but not here. This law of having a mum will never apply to him. He's told instead to get rid of any of the other Kohanim that might have these issues, which is interesting, by the way, because Aaron, there is no law that a Kohen Gadol has to search the Kohanim to see if they have mumin or not. There is no such law. So it is strange that Aaron is the one over here. Ayala Sashachar points that out. But either way, that's the idea behind it. The Orach Chaim HaKadosh takes it a step further. Orach Chaim takes this Ramban and says, not only will Aaron never have a blemish, says the Orach Chaim HaKadosh, it's a promise. It was a promise by Hashem. You, Aaron, and your children, not another one of you, are already gone, but Elazar and Itamar, you and Elazar and Itamar will never have a mum. You will not worry about these things, but your grandchildren might. Mizaracha means ish mizaracha. It's from your children, meaning the children that will be born after this. That will happen. This indicates something that's going to be special. Says the Alshech, he learns from here, this is not just a lesson for the Kohanim. It's a lesson for all of Klal Yisrael. It's a lesson that should go. No one should think that they just deserve to serve in the Beis HaMikdash. That everybody should just be able to go in. I'm a Bechor Paterechem. So according to some Midrashim, the Bechor is going to serve in the Beis HaMikdash together with the Kohanim at the time of the third Beis HaMikdash. The Bechor is going to be able to come back. Fine, that could be, and maybe it's possible. But if I'm not ready for it, they're not just going to let me in. Kohanim, is anybody here a Kohen? I think there's not enough Kohanim in Chicago. I think I said that before. I'm really upset about it also. Yeah, I'm so upset. Really upset, I'm sorry? Yeah, definitely. Firstborn, I would assume. But right, but either way, regardless. So it's not like I'm going to go in. If I go up there and I'm just like, I'm a Bechor, I'm a Petarachim, they're going to be like, do you know the Avoda? I'll be like, no. And they're not going to let me go. It's not like it's an inalienable right that you have to automatically serve in the Beis HaMikdash because you're a Kohen, you're a Bechor. If you don't know your stuff, you don't get to serve. So if you know your stuff, you'll be able to serve. There's an amazing Sfarim out there that you can learn, etc. But you can't just think that you're going to be able to walk in one day and you're just going to be able to do it. That's ridiculous. That's like a guy being hired as a Rav of a shul. So tell me, Rabbi, what's the halacha? I don't know. Never done halacha before. Figure it out. I'll learn it on the job. But that's not the way things go. You have to prepare yourself to come in beforehand. There's no way you can come into a job working that way. Says the Alshech, it's a lesson for all of us. We can never go into something assuming that we're automatically going to get it. That this is just ours, that it's right there in our hands. Confidence? You should have confidence. Everybody should have confidence. You should go in with a straight up back. But with that straight up back comes a little bit of a lowered head. The head a little bit lowered, showing a little bit of anivus together with your gaiva, I guess you could say, to make sure that you're doing it in the best possible way, but together there. And that's how you daven Shemona Esrei. You daven Shemona Esrei with a straight up back, thinking, I am doing this correctly, but on the other hand, you never look up to Shemayim like that. You have your head a little bit down. A little bit down. Because you know you're confident that a Kadosh Baruch Hu is going to pay attention to your tefillah, but on the other hand, you also need to know that a Kadosh Baruch Hu needs to see you as a dake v'shval ruach, a person who's a little bit knocked down, that idea over here. We went to the Tosefes Bracha before, which we wanted to give a reason. If you want to see this Tosefes Bracha, it's an amazing Tosefes Bracha, how the key is not really a reason, it's something else entirely. Now the Kli Yakar points out something as well. In three places in these psukim, it says the words bo mum. In him is a blemish. But the last two times the words are mentioned, it says mum bo. In Pasuk Chaf Aleph and Pasuk Chaf Gimel, it says mum bo. And he asks the obvious question, why is it that it's bo mum, bo mum, bo mum, and then all of a sudden mum bo, mum bo? What happened over here? Why is it different over there? He brings up Rashi. And he says, none of that is explicit in the pasuk, that it's because akaveu ne'elefecha secha, anything like that. He says, that's not it. So he wonders, what's the real pshat behind this? He answers, there were great men in the past, and this is a secret that we don't always understand. There were great men in the past that were able to see the sins of a person just by looking at them. By the foreheads, if you look at different pictures in the Mekubalim, quite often they'll have their hands on their foreheads. There's a picture of the Ben Ish Chai's student, Rabbi Yehuda Fataya. Maybe you've seen it before. He wrote the Sefer Minchas Yehuda. Every picture they have of him, he has his hand like this. He has his hand like that. Baba Sali, quite often you'll see that picture with his hand like that. The forehead is where you can read the sins of a person. I find it not coincidental that the Ben Ish Chai was straight up there, just like, look, just try it. Try to find it. The Ben Ish Chai was not worried, right? But you'll see it. By many Kubalim, they were able to see certain things in a person they were able to see. He says like this, there were Gedolim, great men, that knew what mum a person was going to get based on the sin that he had already done. My son tonight was playing baseball, and as he slid home to get a run, right, as he slid home, he slid past the base, and the catcher stepped on his arm. Stepped on his arm, right there, and he has a huge welt mark right there with little spike marks from the cleats inside his arm right there. A great gadol would be able to say to my son, here's what you did before it happens, and here's what's going to happen. Your arm right here is going to be hit. A great gadol. I don't know if there are any people like this nowadays. I know there are a lot of people that think that are like this nowadays, but I don't know if there are any actual people in this. But the Kliyakar is writing 400 years ago, and he's saying there are people that know what's going on. And it's going to get, note the words, that he's going to get, not what he already got. It's really easy to look at a person and be like, oh, that probably is because you did that. Right? That's something else. They knew that this is the sin leads to the mum when it comes to that. They could tell those things before they ever got them. They saw someone take a bribe for something, they would immediately tell them, you're going to be a little bit blinded. Maybe it doesn't mean you go blind. You're going to lose a little bit of your eyesight. Maybe that's what they would go ahead and say. If they saw somebody was acting with an ego, they would tell them, you're going to have a broken leg, which explains a lot of my leg issues. Okay, a lot of them. But that's the idea. Each one represents something that they did. They saw it in their face. They saw the moon. Now, this idea would apply to anyone who wasn't born that way, but ended up getting a moon later on in life. Something happened to them later on in life, right? Something that happened. Now, that can be indicated from the words bo, he existed, and then mum, then he got a blemish. There was bo, and then he got a mum. Fine, so that's good. But what would be if a person was born with that blemish? Maybe he was born without an arm. Maybe that person could serve in the base major. I get that a person who has a blemish physically, and because of that, it must be that he has a blemish mentally, because the only way this mum would come would be because he sinned. Then I get it that that person wouldn't be able to serve in the base of Mikdash. The bo mum guy wouldn't be able to serve in the base of Mikdash. How do you know someone who had a blemish from birth, where it couldn't be because of a sin? He couldn't have sinned. He was born with this. How do you know a mum, bo guy, cannot serve in the Beis HaMikdash? Where do we see that that isn't allowed in the Beis HaMikdash? That's why the Pasuk has to say, mum, bo. We say, bo, mum, bo, mum, bo, mum, to refer to the person who has a mental lapse of judgment that allowed him to sin, and then he got a mum, that guy's puzzle in the Beis HaMikdash. But not only that guy, also the guy who didn't have a mental lapse of judgment, who only got the mum from birth, because whatever HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted him to have, even that guy is going to be out, says the Kliyakar. And the halakha is this goes. This is 100% true. It doesn't matter whether you got the mum first or you got the mum after you were born. It makes no difference. Both of them are puzzle to serve in the Beis HaMikdash. They're both going to be puzzle to be able to serve and bring the korbanos of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, explained over here for this reason, because of bom mum and mum bo, that's how the Kliyakar explains it over here. Now, by the way, as a time out over here, I am not saying that any person who has gotten a blemish after they were born is because of a sin. I'm saying that is one way that a person can get a blemish in this world, but there still is bechira. So I'm going to give an example. Like, if a person goes ahead and uses a gun and shoots another person and causes him to have a blemish, that blemish may not be because of a sin that the other person did, but rather because of the bechira of this guy. That depends on a whole discussion of bechira, which is way beyond the scope of this work. And that's not something that I'm going to answer. There is a lot of Rabbi Dr. Akiva Tat stuff out there, and I'm going to let you read that, as well as Michtav Elio about bechira, and I'm going to let you discuss it on yourself. So that's a topic for you for later. So now, that's that. Mayana Shel Yosef and the Mayana Shel Torah and the Parties Yosef also give a good thing over here. The Ksav Sofer as well. There's something over here where he says we're talking about things that have the heart of gold, that somebody who has a blemish is even greater than other people. Maybe you've heard this before, that some of the greatest neshamos that have come into this world are people that have mental deficiencies or physical disabilities, where those neshamos needed one quick little fix. They were brought into this world in the body of a person who couldn't do everything he was supposed to do in order for them to have an easier time to get their final tikkun in any which way. That's the Ksav Sofer's idea. He goes on about that. That's another issue altogether. We're going to go into two other things, which I think are absolutely remarkable. Skipping over here, this was the Shem Yishmol, which is also an awesome Shem Yishmol. In a deeper sense, the Shach is warning us, it's warning us to be kadosh in the relationships with our wives. That any type of relationship should be treated with the highest level of kedusha. The Gemara Nedarim in Daf Chaf says, the Malachi Asharis told Rabbi Yochanan ben Dehavoy, he told him that people who are born in a certain way, he specifically mentions blind, lame, mute, etc., could possibly stem from illicit behavior in the bedroom. That's what he says. The command is not just for Aaron and his children. In Pasuk of Dalet, it says, Dabro b'nei Yisrael. Speak this out to all of b'nei Yisrael. That we don't paskin like Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan b'davoy is not how we paskin. That's not how we paskin. We don't hold that children are born from this type of relationship. But it's a level of Kedusha. It's a level of Kedusha. It's another level. And the Noam Elimelech speaks about this in a few places. That a person has to be very careful to treat his relationship with his wife with as much Kedusha as possible. Here's what he says. There's a Zohar in Parshas Achremos that Rabbi Abba and Rabbi Yossi were walking and met someone who had a terrible mark on his face. A horrible mark on his face. Rabbi Abba said that mark came from Arias. Came from Arias. So they asked him about it. And he told them that once he was staying in an inn with his sister, and he was together, what ended up happening, they were staying in the same room. He got drunk. He drank too much wine. Went back to the room and sinned with his sister. And the next day, he realized what he had done. He felt remorseful. And right then, he saw two people getting into a fight with one another. Two big, burly guys getting into a fight. He ran over to break up the fight. And one of them hit him so hard, he crushed his skull all the way to the brain. That's how bad it was. And he was dying. He was bleeding profusely and he was dying. So they said to him, what happened? What happened? They said, he said, a doctor came to me. A doctor named Rabbi Simloy, and Rabbi Simloy healed me. They asked him, what kind of medicine did he give you? How did he heal, like, a hit that went so far into the brain? How in the world could they have healed you? He said, Rabbi Simloy told me to do tshuva. Every day, I find a mirror, and I look at the mark on my face, and I remember the chait that I did, that I had done with my sister, and I understood that this is the reason why I got that mark, and I cry, and I cry, and I ask for my terrible sin to be forgiven. Rabbi Abba said there was a way to see if the tshuva would be accepted, and it's the following. If you say the words, V'sar avonech v'chatosech t'chupar, your sins should go away, your chatos should be forgiven, three times, if you truly did tshuva, then the mark will go away. And if you didn't do tshuva, then the mark's going to stay. So the man accepted upon himself to do it. He said it. He said, V'sar avonech v'chatosech t'chupar, three times. The mark went away, and he accepted upon himself day and night he was going to learn, and that would be his bracha. He got a bracha from those two great rabbanim. He became a very great man. That's what the Zohar says regarding this. We see not only does it affect children, Arias, but it could affect a person himself. And going one more here. The Chassam Sofer brings down a Gemara Menachos Daf Lamed Zayin. Maybe you've heard this before from me. It's an unbelievable. There's an Amora, by the name of Rabbi Yossi HaChorin. Rabbi Yossi HaChorin. He gives a statement about the word Yad, what the word Yad means. It refers to the right hand, whatever. He refers to the word Yad. Rashi says his last name was called Chorem because he had a sunken nose. One of the mumen mentioned in our parsha is the word Charum. Charum is a sunken nose where the nose is literally sunk into the face itself and he is flat completely and the nose is a little bit sunken in completely. It almost looks as if he just has nostrils. Like, oh, what's that guy? Voldemort. That's what he looks like. That's what Charum refers to. So Rabbi Yossi HaChorem was named because he had that issue. He looked like that, and he was something completely different. That's why he was called that name. So Tosfos asked on Rashi, says, what's going on? Why in the world would you call an Amora by a degrading name? Why would you call him HaChorem? That's number one. And then the Chassam Sofer asks, not only that, but it's the wrong word. You wouldn't say Chorem, you would say Charum. You would say Rabbi Yossi HaCharum. You wouldn't say Rabbi Yossi HaChorem. So why was he called Chorem? He says, couldn't understand it, says Tosos. The Chassam Sofer says, I got the answer. In Gemara Brachos Daf Chaf, Rabbi Yochanan had huge eyelashes, so he wasn't able to see very many things. He would sit on the gates of the mikveh. When the woman would come up from the mikveh, he said, I'm going to sit there. He said, the woman will look at me, they'll think about me, and they'll have beautiful children like me when they're together with their husbands. What that means is that Rabbi Yochanan wanted the woman to think they saw a great Talmid Chacham like Rabbi Yochanan, and they would say, oh, we want our children to be as great Talmid Chachamim as Rabbi Yochanan, and their children would be that way. Now, it wasn't a problem of him seeing them. He couldn't see because he had these huge eyelashes. It also wasn't really a problem of him wanting them thinking of Rabbi Yochanan's beautiful face. Although he had a shine to him, Rabbi Yochanan was not what we would consider a very beautiful person. He didn't have a beard. He had these huge eyelashes that surrounded his face, which were weird, and he was a real big balbusser, a very, very big individual. So he's not the definition of what you would have thought of as a very good-looking, a person that people would say, like, oh, man, that guy is the person that I'm thinking of. That's not what would happen. So what happened over here? So he says the Chasam Sofer, that when a person has in mind that they want their child to be a tremendous Talmud Chacham, and they have that person in their head, that tremendous Rav, whoever it is, then the child automatically gets the propensity to be a big Talmud Chacham, but not only that. The child ends up looking like that Talmud Chacham. Says the Chasam Sofer, in the days of Moshe Rabbeinu, they accused him of being over on Eishes Ish. Says the Chasam Sofer, why were they accusing Moshe Rabbeinu of being over on Eishes Ish? They all knew where Moshe Rabbeinu was. He was sitting outside in the tent. He wasn't even together with his wife. He stayed outside in the tent learning all day long. Everybody knew where he was. How could they suspect him of being together with other women? The answer is, they couldn't understand how. But all the children looked like Moshe Rabbeinu. Why did they look like Moshe Rabbeinu? Because the wives wanted their kids to be Talmid Chachamim like Moshe Rabbeinu. And if they had that in their heads, then the children ended up having a look that was similar to what Moshe Rabbeinu was. And here's what happened with Rabbi Yossi Achorim. Rabbi Yossi Achorim was such a huge Talmid Chacham that everyone in his town wanted their kids to be like him. So they all had in mind, we want our children to be like Rabbi Yossi. So every single one of those children that were born was born with a sunken in nose. They all were charum. So Rabbi Yossi was not only a charum, he was hachoreim. He caused others to be charumim. That's what he caused others to be. And that wasn't degradation. That was a compliment that they all wanted their children to be like him. That was the compliment over here. Maybe that's why this line in Shas, right, is mentioned. And we call him by that name. It's the only time he's mentioned, by the way. There is no other place that he's mentioned specifically to show us this. What's up, Jake? What do you mean? Oh, meaning everybody looks the same way, then everybody would just look the same way. Yes, it's still called Harum, though. Meaning all these people, even if everybody would have it, that would just postle them all from serving the Beis HaMikdash, even though that becomes the new normal. You know what I'm saying? It's called... No. What you'd say is that for Birchas, they could do like Birchas Kohanim, because Kevin did Dashbe, once you're used to it, you're used to it. But yeah, that still would be something a little bit different. So I know I haven't answered everyone's questions here, and I realize that this is a very sensitive topic, and it's a sensitive subject in the first place, because how are we going ahead, and we're knocking out people from doing things. But the main lesson behind it, whether some of these Maimari Chazal are taken to be literally, or whether there's something else behind them, or there's something else that's going on behind the scenes regarding the neshamas, the concept is that a Kaddish Baruch Hu has jobs for everyone, and we should all accept what our jobs are. Not what we want our jobs to be, but what our jobs are. Instead of saying, God, let me do this, it's a Kaddish Baruch Hu, if this is the right thing, let me have it. And if not, not. That's what we should be davening for. That's what we should be doing in our tefillos. And if we do that correctly, then we'll understand why a Kaddish Baruch Hu put us in this world with the deficiencies that we have, and how to utilize them to the best way. In the best way. Should be good, everybody. Have a great Shabbos.